We've been going through James, and again, James is written to this oppressed people, this oppressed 12 tribes, Jewish people that have become Christians and accepted Jesus' message, and now they're under trial, under the gun for that, and for them living it out. And so James comes in, and he sees this mess of trials, this mess of them getting their doors kicked in, and says, let me help steer you in the right direction during this time. Let me help you understand what your role needs to be in this time. And that's what James is. And yeah, it's tough, because I some of the stuff, I don't know how James could even get away with saying those things to these people during this time. But he does, and we're going to continue saying those things to these people today. You guys in? You gals in? Yar. This is getting out of hand. Really fast. I ask questions and you guys answer, so I celebrate that. So we're going to read. Can you guys read with me? There's Bibles out on the tables. There are Bibles on your phones. There are apps available. I see some phones. That's great. We want you all to be reading along with us. And I hope this isn't the first time you crack a Bible when you come here on Sundays. But if it is, I'll celebrate that too. All right? So we're going to read James 5, 12 through 19 and 20 even. We'll do 20 as well. Sounds good? Are you all ready? This is James's words out of the NIV. It says this, above all, this is summing up his entire teaching, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. Is any among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth, and someone should bring that person back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from the error of their way will save them from death and cover a multitude of sins. So this opener that he sums everything up with, above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned. This opener is direct quotes from Jesus. This opener is a direct quote from Jesus' teachings that we hear about in the letter that Matthew wrote, where Jesus is condemning these Pharisees, these people that have taken these oaths. And you can read about these in Matthew. I think it's Matthew 5. Matthew 5 and Matthew 23. You can read about Jesus talking about these oaths that people were taking and that these Pharisees were making. And what had happened was, these oaths were becoming this real shady thing. They were becoming this very loose way of saying, I will do this or I will do that, but they all came with loopholes. They came with loopholes of making differing degrees of oaths and promises. And so what was coming out of these Pharisees' mouths, and the Pharisees were this pious bunch of people, so they looked good as they said these things. However, when they would speak and they would make these promises and these oaths, they would do such in a way that you couldn't trust them. And that they would be let out of these oaths or these promises that they kept because they would make lesser promises over here or greater promises over here or But there was always this loophole. There was always this way to get out of what they've said they were going to do. And so James is quoting Jesus as Jesus is pulling all this stuff out and saying, your words mean nothing. You're sitting here swearing by the altar. You're sitting here swearing by the meat on the altar and the sacrifice on the altar, but you, it doesn't mean anything. What means something is me, Jesus. What means something is what I'm telling you about, what I'm about to do. That's what really means something. And so you have this, these oaths that are being taken, these almost, I don't know, bargains, haggling with God and God's people. Or God's people haggling with God, saying, I'll do this, but just in case that doesn't work out, I got a loophole. And so James is seeing this within in the people that he's speaking to. And he says, above all, don't fall into this practice. Above all, don't do this. As if you could manipulate God somehow by your words, by your actions, by your thoughts, by your oaths. Don't do that. Don't participate in that. And all of this comes at this time in their life when they are oppressed. All of this comes at the time in their life when things aren't going their way. And so the natural reaction generally is to start bargaining with God, isn't it? A good friend of mine was a prospect for the Hell's Angels. Hell's Angels is a motorcycle club. Some would call it a gang. They're violent. They have illegal activity. Are there any Hell's Angels? Am I letting something out of the bag? You can kill me on my way out in the parking lot. My buddy was a prospect for the Hell's Angels, and he talks about this one time in his life. And he says, I was in a cabin beating this gentleman because he owed money or owed favors or was a rat or a narc or something. I was beating him severely. And it got to the point where I didn't know if he would live. And so then I started praying, God, if you let this man live, I'll do what you ask. I'll do what you say. There's this bargain with God. So here's what I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear this beautiful tale where God said, okay, he's going to live, and you're going to change. What happened was the man lived, and my buddy found himself in that exact same cabin doing the exact same thing to someone else. After he struck this bargain with God that really meant a lot, God, don't let him die on my watch. He's saying the exact same prayer in the exact same cabin as he's beating someone else close to death. These are the bargains we make with God, isn't it? Anybody get mail from Ed McMahon from time to time? Publisher's Clearinghouse? You're going to win $1 million. Here's what I've said in the past. God, oh, I'd like that money. I'd really like that money, and I'll give it all to the church. If I just could win that money. I've bought Powerball tickets when it was skyrocketing tens of millions of dollars. God, I know I've got the winning ticket, and I'm going to bless your people. I'm going to get all the churches that I know that are suffering right now in debt, out of debt. I just want to help them, God, by winning $40 million. I just want to give it all away. These are some of those these bargains that we make. These are some of these weird things that we say, and I don't even know if it can even count as prayer. I don't even know if it can count as a conversation with God. But this is real world stuff, isn't it? I prayed fervently on my motorcycle. It started chugging and running out of gas. I see Buford in the distance. God, I know that you are sovereign. God, with the same power that rose your son from the dead, make my gas last until Buford. I prayed this. I kid you not. This is super powerful. I'm going to call down any kind of scripture that I can recall in my head. God, get me there. I run out of gas a mile, like a half a mile from Buford. I pushed my bike all the way to Buford, off the off-ramp, under the overpass, back up to Buford. And these are some of the bargains that we make with people, but we make them in some of the goofiest times of our lives. We make them in these trying times, these times where we begin to not trust in who God is and what God's already said and the promises that he already has talked about and has claimed for us. He didn't promise me Ed McMahon's millions. He didn't promise you Ed McMahon's millions. He made very specific promises about being sons and daughters, about being loved, about grace and mercy. And what we do is we take these things, and it's almost like a kid at Christmas who sees this beautifully wrapped gift, and he unwraps it, and he's so excited, and then you see his face fall because it's pants. And they're looking at their pants and saying, this is not the iPad I wanted, the video game I wanted, the character that I needed to complete the set. And you watch him toss the pants. And that's almost what we do with God, this beautiful gift that God's given us. We open it all up and oh, grace. Mercy? Yeah. Is there anything left? Where's my money? Where's my easy road to life? And then we begin to bargain because those things aren't good enough. Those things aren't what we need at the time. And James calls out this mentality because the people, this nation, is wanting to do that. They're going to want to bargain. They're going to want to talk. They're going to want to get angry and edgy when he's saying things like, consider it pure joy, brother and sisters, when you are facing trials of many kinds. Let perseverance finish its work in you. Don't respond the way you feel like you need to respond with this crazy amount of justice and anger and rage. Rest in what I've already done for you. Rest in the promises that God's already made for you. What Jesus has accomplished for you. You can take that. And so he goes in and he says, above all, don't fall into swearing as if you could manipulate God by your oaths. Instead, speak honestly and directly and rely on God in prayer. Because the whole last half of this is about prayer. It's about prayer and faith. In fact, those that say James is a book about works, I don't see that. I see James as a book of faith. You have many examples. Faith is being tested in trials in chapter 1. In the midst of trials, Christians are to ask God for what they need in faith. In chapter 2, it says it is because they hold faith in Christ that they are not allowed to show favoritism. James has gone to great lengths to emphasize that genuine faith will manifest itself in how we do life. Some might call that deeds. But this faith is going to dictate how we move on. This faith is going to dictate how we respond to trials. This faith is going to dictate how we see God. This faith is going to dictate how people see God in us. And James is saying, I know life is tough. I know life is hard. But there's such a higher way, there's such a better way of living than this bargaining. And it's called owning the promises that you've already been given through what Jesus has done. There's salvation. Salvation is not a pair of pants on Christmas. Some of you might like pants, and that's awesome. I like pants, sure. But salvation is not this less than gift. Salvation is the it. Salvation is the it. There's nothing greater. There's nothing higher. There's nothing better than being right with our God who created us. And so James pushes on this, and his whole letter is a plea for us and the readers at that time to not just be religious people, but to be people of faith. And so this faith that we have or that we don't have is challenged because we don't believe it. We don't own it. All we see is trials, or all we see is the need, or all we see is... And James breaks through that. James goes beyond that. He says, what does he say? Let me read it. James says, pray in times of trouble. And have faith that God's hearing those times. James says, pray in times of happiness. Did you know that praise is a form of prayer with God? Do you know that? Do you know that when we sing like we do, that is prayer with God? Do you know that? If you're happy, sing songs of praise. Sing praises to God. Tell Him, God, things are good and You are good. You are the giver of good gifts. James takes away this bargaining, these words that we want to say to hopefully convince God otherwise. He says, instead, take those words and actually pray to God. Instead, take those words and talk to God. Don't bargain with Him. Don't try to sway Him in your circumstance. God knows where you're at. God knows what you're going through. But talk to Him. The Bible promises things like wisdom, doesn't it? I have a tattoo on my hand of two sparrows and a penny. And Jesus said, are not two sparrows bought for a penny, but not one of them falls to the ground without their Father's knowledge, without God's knowledge. And are you not more precious than that? Those are promises that we cling to. Those are the things that we go to in these times of trials, in these times of perseverance finishing its work within us, in these times of rich rulers and oppressors and people knocking down our door or friends that disagree with our stance on who God is. Those are the things that we cling to. Those are the things that we are able to say, God, I love You and I want those promises. I want to see those promises continue to be fulfilled. I want to be a part of those. Help me own those promises. Instead of, God, I just want to win those $1 million. God, just get me to Buford. God, let this man live. I swear my life is Yours. So for us that live these lives of loopholes and these lives of seeing God in another light other than what He actually is, I think Josh said it best when I asked what we heard in James, and he just said, do it. Live it. Be it. And as James calls us out and calls these people out that he wrote this letter to so many thousands of years ago, the entire letter is summed up like this: in your trials, you do not need the power gained by money. You don't. You don't need favoritism or selfishness or fighting or swearing. And he ends the letter with, use the power of prayer. Pray about these things that are not right in your life. Let God be involved in that way. Because he already is. He wants to hear it from you. Commit yourself to doing what is right without compromise. Then you may rely on God in prayer for all your needs. What did James say? The prayer of a righteous person . So James is calling this group to be righteous. James is calling not to be self-righteous, to be righteous. James is calling this group to be righteous. James is calling you to be righteous, not self-righteous. James is calling you to cling to the promises that are already ours. James is calling us to pray in the bad times, in the good times. And for one another, when we know that we've sinned, confess your sins to one another. Can you imagine a church that would do that and take that seriously? All the forgiveness that's going on, all the sins that are brought to light, and God working through those things, can you imagine what this church would look like? But we hide behind our bargaining, we hide behind the shadows of sin, and we say, well, that might work in a perfect world, but that ain't going to work in the real world. And James is saying that is the real world. So this faith that God is actually going to do something in your life, this faith that God actually has you taken care of, this faith that God actually is going to do what he said in his words, that we get handed down by these writers of letters. That's what James wants us to cling to. Faith. Not works. Faith. Let that faith begin to dictate who you are. Let this faith begin to dictate who you are. Don't be dictated by your political party. Don't let your life be dictated by your anger. Let it be dictated by faith in God. Don't let your life be dictated by bargaining with God. Let your life be dictated by faith, knowing that when you pray, God's hearing what you're saying and that God's got your best interest at heart. I've been having an awesome time going through James. An awesomely trying time going through James. Last night, I was praying impossible prayers as I was going through these notes over my head and as I didn't sleep at all last night, I just tossed and turned. For a minute, I thought I was dying. I don't know why. It was fun. It was great. But I remember finding myself bargaining even with God in bed as I thought about this teaching. God, if you would only just. And he says, Adam, I have. Own it. Live it. Live it in faith. And that's the beautiful message of James. It's not works. It's not attaining something by working super hard at it. It's by living a life dictated by faith in Jesus and what he's done for you and what he said that he will do for you and continue to do for you and me. That's it. So for some of you, that's hard to buy today. Some of you that you can't buy that today, and that's okay. For some of you, you've been bargaining all your life. And that time is, the time is now to stop. For some of you, you've been operating the opposite of what James has taught. And you've sought power through money, through anger, through oppression, through terrible financial dealings with others, through... The time is now to stop. God loves us too much to leave us where we're at. And I'm thankful for that. God, we love you. We thank you for James and just the his view and you're speaking into his life and telling him and helping him understand what these people are going through. God, and as the words that you've given him to speak to these people and to write to these people are powerful and are challenging, and it's one thing to sit thousands of years removed from this situation and that because it doesn't happen to us directly and just hear this story, to just hear this tale of this people. But it's another thing to be these people going through these trials right at the time and getting a letter like this saying, hey, I know this is how you're going to be tempted to live life. I know this is how you're going to be tempted to move on, but this is not right. God says otherwise. Cling to that. And so, God, I think that's the entirety of Sunday morning gatherings. I think that's the entirety of hearing from you weekly, from hearing from you daily, from hearing from you all night. As we are a broken people, as we are a people that, for those of us that claim Jesus, are redeemed, God, but yet we still cling to some of this past stuff. Some of these past ways of life, some of these past ways of doing life. And we want to claim that under this godly way of life, and that's not the it. God says, no, I'm over here. I'm over here, and you need to come over here with me. And so, Father, I pray that you give us the boldness to just do it, to just be what James is asking us to be. To be men and women of faith in whatever circumstance, in whatever trial, God, that we would be men and women of faith that would look to God first in everything that we do. That we would not forget the promises, that we would not forget what has already been done, that we would not just treat salvation as a terrible Christmas gift. That we would cling to that and we would run forward from there in boldness, with joy, with mercy, with forgiveness, with life that we possess because of your Son Jesus, God, so that other people would know who you are, that other people would see what you are truly about. So, Father, may we just do it as James has asked us. It's in your name we pray, in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Amen.